Somebody asked me in a comment to talk about myself a little bit, but I pretty much have over the years. At one time I had a bunch of Wiccans trying to figure out who I am. They don't understand me because I'm not from here. I'm not of the terrestrial. I'm sons of God and daughters of God. They're not of the terrestrial. And we don't have to work. When I say work, we're not in a works-based salvation. We're not in religion. We're not in an ism or a cult, and we're not even in a building. We're just spread all over the world, you know. You can think of me like, if you want to think about me, think of me like John the Baptist or a maverick or Elijah or somebody out in the woods. I really don't want to live in the woods. I wish I could, but I just can't. I'm too much of a city person. I like the convenience of McDonald's and Burger King. I know that makes people mad. Elijah. That's who I identify with more than anybody. Elijah. I used to fight Jezebel, but now I don't really identify with Elijah anymore. If you thought about a character in the Bible, who would I identify with? My first name means to wield God's power. My middle name means boundary. My last name is a king in Israel. But it also means bold, a bold friend. In other words, if I'm friends with somebody, I'm bold about their being a friend with them. I'm not ashamed if they do something wrong. I'll still be their friend, but might not agree with it, but I'll be their friend. But you know, boundaries, my middle name means bound. You know, I'm the master at boundaries, you know. That's the way I've lived my whole life. To wield God's power, I'm just now entering into that. I see how I can think about something and it happens. It's a trip, be honest with you. I'm just like anybody else. Only difference is, in the last seven, I saw the Shekinah glory. And so God downloaded some stuff to me. That's the only difference. He can show up on the scene for any born-again believer. All you have to do is ask him, say, if you really want to get serious about this thing, ask God to show you what he wants you to do and mean it. I mean, you have to come to the end of yourself, pretty much. Say, Lord, there's nothing else I want to do except for whatever you want me to do. Say, I need something to do, Lord. If you just say, I need something to do, if you're bored or if you don't know where to, just say, Lord, I need something to do, and mean it. It might, he'll show up, but it might take 6 months. He's testing you, see if you're serious, you know. Lord, I need something to do, please. I'm stuck down here in this repeat. I need something to do. And he'll give you something to do that you enjoy. And if you don't enjoy it, he'll make you enjoy it. I don't know how to... One time he made me read the book of Leviticus. A friend of mine called, said, what are you doing? I said, we're reading the book of Leviticus. He said, how? That's a boring book. I said, well, it used to be, not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's got a bunch of gold nuggets. Like the book of Leviticus, it's like every 15 verses is like a gold nugget, or every one verse in a chapter is like a gold nugget. So if I was to how would you, how, you know, what I learned in life is you can actually be in the same house, the same bed with your wife, and she don't even know you. Your mama don't even know you. Your sister don't even know you. Your own family don't even know you. Your bloodline don't even know you. So if your bloodline don't know you, then chances are nobody will, unless they're born again, saved to the uttermost, you know. See, there's different levels of leaving the world system, you know. Some people keep two arms and one leg in the world. Some people keep one arm and one leg. Some people keep one leg in the world and one leg in the spirit. Some people just jump in completely as much as they can, you know. So to answer that question, the only thing I could do is say, what are your hobbies, you know? But then when I answer that question, they wouldn't believe it. What are your hobbies? Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating on the Word, rightly dividing it, and turning it over in my mind, looking at the object lessons all around me in creation, meditating on words, the truth, the etymology. And they'd say, what about us? What about this? That's it. I went to marriage counseling one time. My wife said, told the counselor, said, when he talks, he just don't talk normal. He's not talking like himself. He's not talking normal. And the counselor said, are you talking normal? I said, yeah, I'm talking normal. I'm just talking just like I'm talking to you. He said, look at her, tell her you're talking. And I said, I'm talking normal. She said, no, you're not. I said, yeah, I am. I'm being normal. No, you're not. She thought it was fake. I guess because she was around the Pentecostals, so they'd go to church and put on their little fake. They'd do their little Sunday morning thing, and then they'd leave and change back to another. In other words, they weren't the same. They weren't genuine. I guess she wasn't used to people who were genuine. They would change. When they go to church, they put on the churchianity. When they go home, they act different or something. I don't know. She didn't understand that, I think. I don't know. Think of me as I need to be like an image. I need to have it's not an image, but what's the word I'm looking for? Think of me as a enigma. I'm an enigma. That's the word I'm looking for. Enigma. I just need to be a. They got that one guy. There's one guy online. He's dead now. What was his name? I don't agree with him. He says your imagination is God. I think he's taking that a little bit too far. Your imagination derives from God, but is your imagination God? Well, you can actually think about something and it appears, but that don't your means you're a farmer. Your imagination's a farmer, you know, and it's a derivative of God. What's that guy's name? But you got to think of me as like a movement. It's more of a movement than anything. Because the decode, I think in code now. Everything to me is code. And so I wanted to bring the code back to Bible. And so I wanted to destroy the gematria people. Not the people, but their code. I mean, their interpretation of the code. The Wiccans, they know code. I wanted to destroy the coders who were not pointing to Jesus as the source code, but they were pointing to themselves. See, what's happening is when you go into gematria and all that stuff, you point back to yourself instead of pointing to Christ and his church. It is You are looking at yourself, but it's Christ as the head and you as the body. So my whole point was to destroy that Jezebel spirit from a child, to be honest with you. I would never try to compare myself with Elijah and John the Baptist and all that. No greater man than John the Baptist, right? So I would never compare myself with John the Baptist. But, or any of the prophets. But we're kind of greater than the prophets because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But the only difference is I saw the Shekinah glory. God gave me a gift. That's all. No different than any other member in the body. I just have a gift. I can't sing. So if I could sing, I would sing, but I can't. If I could write music, I'd write music. If I could type, I'd be typing books. God put me in one little zone to meditate on the object lessons and to upload the audio. I really enjoy the audio because when you do the audio, you have to use words to describe something, describe, right? Off-scribe. Design something, design. When you design something, design. I used to like math. Even though I wasn't good at it, you know, calculus and stuff like that. But then when God showed me the words, now I'm like a poor word. Everything's to me. Every word is important. Every word, every two letter, every letter, and every two letters are really important. So I'm pretty much meditating on the letters, the words, the shapes, the symbols, the code, the color. That's pretty much what I am. That's what I do all day long. I look at this bush over here. So if you go to a local, let's say, just drive to a hotel somewhere in your city and you'll go drive around and look at the bushes, you'll see a bottle in the bush, right? You'll see a bunch of bottles in bushes. Why? Because the bush represents the female, the bottle represents the male. And so the reason you're going to see it more at a hotel than you are in just out on the highway or something is because that's what's happening in the hotel. The outside reflects the inside. So when you walk around, you see a bunch of bottles and bushes. You say, why are people throwing bottles and bushes? Because the bottle in the bush is what's happening in the hotel at night, in the bedroom. It's a type and shadow. Everything's a type and shadow. It has to be. It's a fractal. So you can actually know what's going on around you by looking at the fractals. You can know what somebody's thinking. You can know what somebody's getting ready to do. There is precog. You can actually know when somebody's getting ready to move. They have micro expressions. You can actually profile people. And if you were good enough, the hologram would reveal somebody. If somebody committed a crime, you could actually figure out who it was without having to be there. The hologram would reveal it. You can look at somebody's clothes. You can look at somebody's the color of car they drive. And profile them if they're religious or what they believe and stuff, so forth. I know it sounds crazy, but the hologram has to hold. It's a fractal hologram, and there's nothing hidden. When you meet Jesus at the Bema Seat, he knows everything about you. When he meets the unsaved at the Great White Throne, he's going to show them everything. They had all the opportunities to get saved, but they rejected their pride. You already know what's going to happen to the Bema Seat. People are going to say the same thing they say today. Well, I didn't see you, Lord. I didn't have proof. I wanted to see you. I didn't hear the gospel. Yeah, you did. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's my family. It's this. If you seek God with all your heart, you'll find him. So all these excuses, we already know what they are because we've heard them 1,000 times. It's sad. It's not something to be, you know, that Tila girl, she laughs about people having calamity, but that's not really going to be a fun thing. Actually, the worth is removed far from the great white throne judgment because it's so bad, you know. God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and not be condemned. We appropriate the righteousness of Christ by faith. Somebody might say, don't you have any hobbies? What about shooting pool? Yeah, I like to shoot pool. What about bowling? Yeah, that's fine. What about swimming? Yeah, that's fine. What about riding a bicycle? Yeah, that's cool. Just like anybody else. The only difference is I don't really care about that stuff anymore. Once you've done it, you don't really like it anymore. You've done it 1,000 times. Why do you want to keep doing it? You know, I don't get it. Maybe that's how to describe myself. Is I get bored really easy. I learn something or do something, I get bored with it, move it to the next thing. And so the good thing about the spirit realm is unlimited, so you never get bored. You're always learning something new. So in the natural, you can learn one programming language like BASIC or Fortran, and you pretty much know all the other ones as long as you learn what the classes and the objects are, and that new kind of programming compared. But once you learn program, it's just if an and or statement or a if then statement, stuff like that. It's just math. Once you learn calculus, solved some equations. You mean what else is there? Boring. When you break all the words down to their source, you can take 1,000 words and break them all down, and you'll always come back to cut, turn, union, flow. And so when you see that a word is either cut or turn or union or flow, then you say, okay, I've decoded the language. But why would that happen? Why is that even a possibility? Cut is the cross, turn is the verse, return, turn back to God, the spiral, the boomerang, union is together, oneness, Amos 3:3. 33, flow is the issue, the blood. To impel you, to push you. Who is books? I'm not who you think I am. Only people that really know me are the spirit-filled, born-again saints. I don't have to even meet them. I know them before I meet them. When I talk to them on the chat here, I already know them before I meet them. I know them. one faith, one Lord, one baptism. I'm not a legalist, and legalists don't know me. Legalists cannot even grasp what we're saying here on these videos and audios. A legalist is still under law, still under the flesh, still under a curse. But they think they can be good enough. And they think they can set up rules for you to follow to pull you into their little impossible perfection. They really believe they can set up a bunch of rules, get you into a perfection mindset just like them. And then they make proselytes of you and take you out of grace back to law. That's what they believe. But Paul says we didn't even let these in for one, we didn't let these people in for 1 hour. Not even an hour. Circumcision of the flesh instead of circumcision of the heart. That's what he was talking about, people. You gotta have a circumcised heart, not a circumcised flesh, not something in the natural, the writing on the tablet of your heart. A new heart. Cut at the heart. A writing on the clay tablet of your, breaking up the fallow ground and giving you a soft heart. That's what this thing's about. Who am I? That's who I am. I'm just an instrument trying to write on the tablet of some hearts. And mainly my own. First, I got to write on the tablet of my own heart before I write on somebody else's heart. Because God has to change you before he can change other people. God has to work on you before you become an instrument. And you're still, as an instrument, as a conveyor of truth, you're still being changed, and he's still writing on your... Sometimes he has to throw you back down. If you're a conveyor of truth, he has to throw you back on the potter's wheel and reshape the clay many, many times because you're held at a higher standard. So he's going to scourge you more than most people. And you get to a point, you say, that's just the way it is. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I should be dead. Be honest with you. I don't know why I'm still alive. My time's not over yet. Still here. I don't know why. Maybe just one more person needs to hear the truth. I don't know.